Welcome to the Real Estate Reality Show with your host and back-to-back Best of the Springs realtor, Justin Hermes. Sweet
apple pie. All right, folks, Justin Hermes here, Real Estate Realities. Hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. That's right, enjoying the balloons this morning driving in. It was beautiful, all the balloons out. I tell you what, come on. Is Colorado Springs not a great place to live or what? It's been an honor to share with you guys, the radio listeners, this past year. Because of the NFL season, I will be taking a hiatus until I come back on in January. But we are going to do some weekly tips that'll be broadcasted during the morning commute, and possibly some podcasts. And, you know, you can always call me if you have any real estate questions at 719-232-1063. I'm a real estate investor. We manage properties. I sold 82 homes last year. We have a senior program specializing in senior moving, and we help you find the best avenue for your property. A lot of realtors just buy and sell. We do the property management end as well. We're very diverse, and it's putting you in the best position possible. So give me a call at 719-232-1063. I'm a Colorado Springs native. I love this city. And today's topic is on infrastructure. So we're going to be bringing in Senator Paul Lundeen, and he is going to talk about the GAP project, what's going on with the roads here in Colorado Springs, and what we can do to get the infrastructure in place and be proactive instead of reactive, right? I mean, we have over 8 million people coming to Colorado by 2050. We're going to be at about 1.2 million in El Paso County. We have to make sure the infrastructure is in place, and that's what we're talking about today. It's going to be a very exciting show. I will say, we did have Governor Polis slotted to come in, and he canceled on us last minute. We did get the questions over to him. We gave him about 5 questions that we wanted answered, but unfortunately, he's not able to join us. But that's okay, because Senator Lundeen's going to give us a lot of value here, a lot of insight, and what's going on at the state level to help Colorado Springs as we are just busting at the seams. Right, guys? I know I-25, Powers Academy, you sit in that traffic, so make sure you pay attention to this next segment as we talk about what we can do to move forward as a city. You're listening to Justin Hermes, Real Estate Realities. If you have questions, 719-232-1063. That's 232-1063. And my email is justin.hermes@wesellmore.net. Make sure you stick around for the second segment here. You're listening to Real Estate Realities on KRDO News Radio.
This segment is brought to you by Arrow Moving and Storage. Whether you're moving across the street or across the country, call Arrow Moving and Storage, 719-325-6341. We're back to the Real Estate Reality Show with Justin Hermes. Cause I got this, don't gotta think too hard.
Folks, hey, thanks for sticking with me. We're into the second segment here on Real Estate Realities. We're talking infrastructure, and we got on a very special guest, Senator Paul Lundeen. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Justin, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Really appreciate it. And some of the listeners who aren't familiar with you, Senator, if you could just give them a brief background, that way they kind of know as we're talking here the credibility you have.
Well, I work every day to build credibility. So absolutely. I am, from a political standpoint, I served 4 years on the Colorado State Board of Education, 2 years as a member, 2 years as chair. Then I served 4 years in the Colorado House, served on the Education Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and the Transportation Committee for a period of time. And I'm now in the Colorado State Senate, serve on the Education Committee, the Finance Committee, and the Legislative Audit Committee. prior to that, I was a businessman, entrepreneur, 10 companies over 30 years, all of them service companies, putting together a team, figuring out how to add value from that team to our into our clients' circumstance. And so I'm really an entrepreneur. And my training, my degree in education is actually in journalism. So I that was actually my first career as well. So a little bit of journalism background in all of that as well.
Well, that's quite the resume. Quite the resume. Well. We appreciate having you on, and we're going to dive right into it here. Obviously, the first thing people think when we're talking transportation is the GAP project. And how are you feeling like that's going right now with it being that third lane of toll road and then also some of the decisions to hold back on the bridges? What's your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, the whole GAP project starts several years ago. Governor Hickenlooper had come down seeking re-election, campaigning in El Paso County, and he had said to the public at large and to the Gazette editorial board when he was looking to get re-elected, so this is 5-6 years ago now, he said, "I will make closing the gap, fixing the road between Monument and Castle Rock, my priority if I get re-elected." And then a year went by after he got reelected, and then 2 years went by after he got reelected, and I started saying, as a member of the Colorado House, "Hey, what's going on with the gap? We need to move forward on that project. People are stuck in traffic on a constant basis. The road is not safe. The road is not reliable. We've got to do something about it." And so we started pushing pretty hard. CDOT was good in joining into the conversation, and we were able to come up with $250 million from the state of Colorado, some money from El Paso County, a little bit of money from Douglas County as well, and get the project going. And that was three years ago now. And at that time, prior to us getting the project underway, the Hickenlooper administration was saying, "Yeah, we're going to get that going within the next 10 years. So point one in the conversation around the gap that I always like to remind everybody about is we are at this point about 5 years ahead of the schedule that CDOT and the Hickenlooper administration were kind of bumping along, willing to accept until the people of El Paso County and some of the elected officials of El Paso County raised their hands and said, "Hey, this is serious. We've got to do this now." It's two of the 40 largest cities in America connected by a road that was built in the 1960s. Seriously, we've got to solve the problem. We've got to solve it now. So victory one is we're underway, and that is ahead of schedule. But now we're in the challenging moment because when you already have an overcrowded road and you start construction, it gets worse. And that's the zone we're in right now, where we've got construction challenges. There are delays because of that. But quite frankly, the safety record has been very good. The progress has been very good. So glad we're underway. We've got some challenges. And I'll take a breath there and let you ask a kind of a redirection question Justin, to determine what direction you'd like to go with the conversation.
Yeah, that's great. And completion, what we're hearing is that it's going to be end of 2021. Is that kind of what you're thinking as well?
Most recent briefing from the Colorado Department of Transportation is construction is scheduled for completion in 2022. And it kind of breaks down, and there's three big sections. The north section from South Castle Rock down to Skyview, which is just right there. Skyview is just south of Toma Road, for people to get a sense of where that's at. That north section is scheduled to be done by 2020. So November of 2020. Then the south section, that's down here by Monument where I'm sitting right now, from the way station on up to Greenland. There's a 7-mile stretch there, some portion, a small portion in El Paso County, most of it Douglas County. That's scheduled to be done by November of 2021. And then the whole project, that middle section from Skyview Lane that I mentioned earlier down to Greenland, that middle section, that's the piece that will be last to finish, and it's scheduled to be done by the spring of 22. That's the map or the timeline that CDOT has laid out at this point. So total completion, spring of 22, and that middle section will be the last piece to get completed based on their current plan.
Got it, and we're going to be looking at that third lane being a toll road, correct?
My answer is no, I'm not willing to accept that yet. Representative Terry Carver, Commissioner Stan Vanderwerf, we have been working with the Colorado Department of Transportation vigorously saying, look, we're building out most of this road wide enough to stripe it for four lanes. Let's find the win-win. And the shoulders will be a little more narrow, and there's some challenge in that. But if you really must toll a lane, we keep saying to CDOT, myself and some of the other electeds, then give us four lanes, three lanes of free flow traffic, and one lane that you could toll, turn on, turn off, as you see fit.
That's a good compromise. I like that.
Well, it's a great compromise. It's the win-win. And, you know, that's what politics is in my experience. It's the art of the possible. I'm in business over 30 years. I've always sought the win-win so that everybody can win something out of that. So that's the piece we're trying to get to. There's a couple engineering challenges with that, and that's really the difficulty we've got. There's a bridge where we cross the Union Pacific Railroad that we do not have the funding nor the environmental approvals nor the easements and right-of-ways from the railroad to widen that bridge out adequately. And then there's another bridge at the Skyview Interchange that is not, again, there's complications around building that based on right-of-ways and so forth. That bridge is not quite wide enough. So the challenge is most of the road, theoretically, we can get to four lanes. And there would be some narrower shoulders than what the plan that CDOT is really pushing hard on. There would be narrower shoulders involved. So that's a little bit of a challenge, or a significant challenge, depending on your perspective. But then the bigger challenge is you run into those two choke points at the Union Pacific Railroad Bridge and at Skyview Intersection, or the Skyview Interchange, where it would be not quite wide enough to actually run those four lanes through. And if you can't run four lanes all the way through, that's a real serious challenge. So as I look at it, the engineering piece is the more challenging piece. The political piece, I truly continue to advocate for the taxpayers have paid for the road. Let's let them drive on the road. I do not like the idea of putting a managed lane or a toll lane on the road. The only way I'd be willing to do that is if we have three lanes of free flow of traffic, fourth lane to be tolled.
So it's just the logistics of it. You feel like you guys could get that across. It's just logistically figuring out that fourth lane the whole way through.
Yep, there's a couple engineering challenges that make it difficult. And that's, quite honestly, that's the give and take. So, but to be precise, final determination of exactly what the layout is going to be has not been made. That is still yet to be finally determined. So we're a year or two away from that. But I will tell you, the way the CDOT is looking at this, they're looking at it as three lanes, one of which is a managed lane. The inside lane would be a managed lane with really big shoulders, an interior shoulder and an exterior shoulder, which, you know, that gives us great safety. That's wonderful. And they want to then manage that interior lane. My response to that is, if that's what it ends up being, that has not been determined finally that that's what it will be. If that's what it ends up being, then my response is that managed lane, you should only turn the toll on during rush hour in the morning and rush hour in the evening, and that third lane should be free to the people of Colorado who have already paid for the road all the other hours of the day. So maybe 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, the other 20 hours a day, it should be three lanes of free flow traffic. That's my argument, which is the first win-win would be four lanes, which is a little bit challenging. The second win-win is limit that toll to a couple hours in the morning, a couple hours in the evening.
Yeah, that's great. Do you think, as El Paso County goes, do you think we're getting enough attention from the state? I know Governor Polis came down and did this CDOT tour, and it seemed like there was a little frustration just because it didn't seem like we're getting enough money to fix the roads that we have here that are state-owned roads.
Are we getting our fair share? I would say this is the Paul Lundeen bullhorn shouting now. No, I think that Colorado Springs is one of the fastest growing communities in the state. We've got a new dynamism in our community that is obvious. We have got the National Cybersecurity Center. We've got additional elements of Space Command that are starting to crop up here. We've got all sorts of wonderful things that are making Colorado Springs a city of the future. And the state of Colorado needs to be attentive in supporting those efforts. And so, you know, having the Paul Lundeen bullhorn, as I just called it, and other elected officials and folks like yourself, Justin, folks with a bullhorn and a bully pulpit like a radio program, we need to keep making the case that Colorado Springs is not the redheaded stepchild of Colorado. Colorado Springs is a vibrant and leading community in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, that's great. You couldn't have said it better. And I'm writing an article as well for the Gazette piece on Sunday. And that's really the big thing I'm getting across is we need to make sure that people are taking us serious. I mean, we are growing at such a record pace. We need to have the infrastructure, because if we don't adapt now and we're not being proactive and we're being reactive, we're going to run into some issues.
Absolutely. Get ahead of the curve. That is exactly, and that's incumbent upon, the elected leadership. The folks have pointed at me when I said, yeah, I want to serve. I'll serve. I'm campaigning. Please vote for me. They said, okay, Lundeen, get out there and do it. It's incumbent upon folks like me and folks like you, Justin, community leaders who are involved in our business community, involved in our society more broadly, to get that message out, to in fact, look ahead, think ahead, call ahead and say, hey, this is what we think it should look like in the future. And then we need to be providing the infrastructure to support that.
That's great. I'm going to get on to the last bit here. We got 3 minutes left. And with about 1.1 million residents predicted in El Paso County in 2050 and Colorado gaining 8.46 million by 2050, do you think a train connecting the whole Front Range would be wise?
And just a quick fact check. Sometimes we get talking fast, I get talking fast, and my tongue gets in front of my eye tooth, and I can't see what I'm saying. The total population of Colorado would be 8.46 coming up shortly, not an increase. Boy,
sorry.
If we increased by 8, it would be, oh, my gosh, all bets are off. But to your question.
I get a little too excited there sometimes. I'm in real estate,
well,
right?
Likewise. You know, we start talking public policy, the future of, I think, the most beautiful state in the country. It's easy to get excited. But the question of a train is an interesting question. And here's the challenge. It's really got two points to it. The first is kind of the ethos of the West, the way we think, the way we live, our ethic of who we are as Westerners. It was only a couple of generations ago that we got on our horse, we rode to where we were going to transact our business, tied our horse up at the rail, transacted business, got back on the horse and rode home. All right, maybe it was two or three generations ago, but that's kind of the ethic of the West. We all like to get in our car, go where we're going to go to do our business, and then, you know, get in our car and go home. We like that independence. We're Westerners. We're independent in nature and makeup. And so there's kind of a cultural, societal, as I say, an element of ethos of the West that says, yeah, I don't really want to get on mass transit. So that's a kind of an emotional barrier to that. There's a practical barrier also to a train up and down the Front Range being useful. And that is, it's embedded in what's known as Metcalfe's Law. And Metcalfe's Law essentially says that a network is valued based on the number of nodes on the network. And the value increases with the square, meaning, so if you have 10 nodes on your network would be valued at 10 times 10 or 100. If you have 12 nodes on your network, it would be valued at 12 times 12 or 144. So you add two nodes, which you would think, well, that's on a 10, you're adding 2 to 10, that's a 20% increase. It isn't. The value of network goes up to 144. So it goes up by 44%. What that means simply is a network's only valuable if you can get on anywhere and get off anywhere that you want to get off. And it's so hard here in the West, where the distances are so great and so big, to get enough possible locations for people to get on and off the train. Now, I went to school in New York City. The subway system goes from everywhere to everywhere, and it's a high-value network. It would be very hard to do that with a train on the Front Range. Now, the glimmer of hope that probably contravenes that, or could potentially, is the ride-sharing systems that are popping up, Uber and Lyft, and the potential of autonomous vehicles. Mm-hmm. If we can solve that first mile, last mile question, if I can get on an autonomous Uber Lyft at my home, get to the train station, go to the other train station in Denver or Fort Collins or wherever, get on another Uber and get to where I'm going, that might resolve that. But in the meantime, sadly, the answer is no. I don't think a light rail up and down the Front Range gets us where we need to go, simply because of the mathematics of how great these great big distances we're talking about and the lack of a high number of nodes on our network, the box that puts us in. So sadly, no on the train for now.
All right, that's good. That's a good explanation. I like it. And we really appreciate the insight you had. You really broke down a lot of detail for us. Is there anything else you want the radio listeners to know about the transportation issues we talked about today before we sign off?
You know, let's keep making sure that our sisters and brother Coloradans around the state understand the fact that Colorado Springs is a great, great place to live, do business, work, and raise your families, and that we're asking that we as a community support ourselves, and we're asking that the state recognize the ascendant role I think Colorado Springs is increasingly playing in the picture that people have of Colorado more broadly.
That's great. Hey, Senator Lundeen, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Justin, my pleasure. Be with you anytime you want.
Thanks so much. Hey, guys, stick with us as we head into our last segment here. You're listening to Real Estate Realities on KRDO News Radio.
I call it housework. Cause it's light work. What you gonna do? But I'm gonna throw shade if I don't get paid for this housework.
This segment is brought to you by House Check, servicing the Front Range of Colorado Springs for over 25 years with the most complete and personalized home inspection. Call them now for more information at 719-266-1645. Welcome back to the Real Estate Reality Show. Now, here's Justin Hermes.
Hey guys, welcome into the third segment. Boy, that was a joy having Senator Lundeen on. And you know what? I do get excited. You guys know that when you listen to me on the radio. So yeah, let's get the correct numbers there. Thank you, Senator. 8.7 million by 2050 as a population. Right now we're at 5.6 million. But hey, I'm selling homes. I'm trying to make everything. I'm selling Colorado. I'm trying to make it just blowing the numbers out of the water. Come on. Anyway, great talk. I think the big takeaways there really are, you know, what's going on with the GAP project, having it be four lanes, one of them as a toll. And then what resonated with me was, you know, what he said about the train. And I've been thinking, hey, you know, I've been on the East Coast. I think trains are good. We should have a train. But he brought up some great points. So a lot of food for thought there, folks. But you do have to realize, you know, we got to take care of the infrastructure, because when people talk affordable housing and we say, oh, there's an affordable housing issue here in Colorado, well, it's the accessibility, right? It's the accessibility from east to west, from north to south, the roads, how fast people can get to their jobs, right? We see people commuting from Pueblo up to Colorado Springs, Colorado Springs to Denver. And if we can keep ahead of the game and keeping the roads in good condition and where they're fit for the demand, then we're fine. We're going to keep attracting people and we are going to keep having affordable housing available. But it's when that infrastructure breaks down and we're not proactive, we're reactive, we're behind the game, is when we will run into a serious issue with affordable housing. So if you had questions about that segment, feel free to give me a call at 719-232-1063. It's always a great topic. And another thing I really enjoyed that the senator said is, come on, take us seriously, right? I mean, Colorado Springs doesn't get what we deserve, and it's our job as citizens here to really stand up and say, hey, you know, to the state, give us what we deserve. We deserve more money for our roads. We deserve more towards infrastructure. We have the Space Command that's temporarily here. It's going to be here, folks. I've been saying that for the last 6 months. It will be here, and all the growth we have, give us the attention we deserve. We are growing at such a fast pace. We need that state funding for our roads. So that's our job as, you know, being citizens here in Colorado Springs, is stepping up, contacting our political leaders or just being involved in the community and saying, hey, you know, we need to make sure our voice is heard. Guys, it's been great sharing my ideas on real estate with you throughout this past year. And it's been great working with a lot of the listeners and helping them improve their financial position through real estate. And just remember that real estate is such a valuable tool. You have to have it in your portfolio. And if you don't, and you have questions and you go, geez, should I have a rental property or should we really sell our house right now or should we just rent it? You need to call me, okay? It's 719-232-1063. That's 232-1063. I'm a Colorado native. I care about this community a lot. And we do property management. We help people sell, buy. We work with our senior specialized program that makes it so easy for seniors to transition, and we can do it all. It's much different than your average real estate agent who is just looking to buy or sell a house, right? We have different tools to hold your asset and create income. And what a better time than now? We talk these numbers, right? With the senator on, where Colorado Springs is going, where Colorado's going, and you're going to tell me that rental rates aren't going to go up? Come on. That's why I don't flip houses, folks. I'm a buy and hold. Just like Warren Buffett in the stock market, buy and hold. That's where the real money is made, and that's what I teach, and I teach the everyday American. That's what's most enjoyable about my job, is I can take somebody who makes $30,000 a year and help them get three investment properties in as little as 3 years. It's just using the tools that I give you, and then you can create a life with a lot of joy, where you can spend extra time, whether it be your children or with certain things in the community, such as your church, and give back, because you're creating the passive income through real estate to really live a life that is more fulfilling. Okay, we end every show, we always say, we talk about these things, the infrastructure, the mortgages, the rental properties. And in the end, folks, it's really about the people around you, the relationships you have, and using the gifts God has given you. And it's been great to use the gift God has given me to share time with you guys on Sunday mornings. And, you know, if you have any questions about any of the past shows, we got the podcast. And to find the podcast, just go to krdonewsradio.com. You can look up all the past episodes we've done. It's a wealth of information. And tune in also to the minute updates in the morning that I'll be giving you. And if you have questions, I'd love to grab a cup of coffee with you. Just give me a call at 719-232-1063. We can do a checkup on your real estate portfolio or figure out how you can, you know, get a piece of the American dream and get two or three rental properties and create the passive income and really get in the position to give back to others. That's what it's all about. And I am going to be having a big food drive on December 14th. We're going to do some promos here on KRDO, and we're going to be working to raise money and food for homeless veterans in Colorado. It's going to be a great cause. If you want to be more involved, call me at 719-232-1063. Thanks for tuning in to Real Estate Realities. You've been listening to Justin Hermes with RE/MAX Properties, 719-232-1063. Have a great Labor Day.
Hey, welcome to my house. Come on, take control now. We can't even slow down.
The preceding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
We're all here and you know that you want to stay.